Yeah, I'm Jackson. I have zero experience with carpentry.
I studied at a school for historic preservation in Boston and learned about how things were built, you know, 250 years ago.
There's a long way to go. I'm nowhere near the top. Not that I thought I was, but there's so much more to do out there.
Welcome back to the Passion for Craft podcast. We are doing Victorian part two. And so we're just going to continue talking about from the ground up. Last time we talked about the why. Hopefully this time we'll be able to talk about the what. And so what it actually is about Victorian. We have like 37 different genres of Victorian to
There's
even get to. So we're going to see how far we go. And there may be, it may just be that they're not too distinctive between each other. It may just be like, yeah, it's all the same features of Victorian, but just with a little Egyptian twist or whatever it may be. So with that, I sit back and listen.
So one thing I liked about the previous one is because it set the tone, stage, scene. You want to keep guessing?
You weren't saying anything.
It set the mindset of what was going on in the Victorian age, so that you could kind of, because part of sleuthing and part of figuring out, you know, when it was built and why it's there, is understanding, you know, that ornamentation, that excitement that they had about, oh my gosh, look what we can do. Look what we can do. You know, the pendulum swung too far, in my opinion, but that was what was their, that was what that was in their head, as they're like, we've never been able to ornament like this. I mean, let's put it everywhere. And not, maybe by the 1890s, it kind of got gooped up and stuff. But the early part of that Victorian was this excitement. Okay. Mm-hmm. You know, I think what I want to do is basically kind of walk through these different styles and talk about each one, and maybe some generalities will come out. But I want people to be able to identify Victorian architecture. Mm-hmm. I want people to, you know, understand the different styles of Victorian, because really there's four main Victorian styles that show up. They are
Queen Anne,
Second Empire, Italianate.
What'd you say?
He said
Queen Anne, Italianate, Second Empire.
And what's the fourth one?
Carpenter Gothic.
I don't know the fourth.
Yeah, some kind of Gothic would probably be one. But then
Gothic will suffice. That's an okay.
Like there's other really popular ones, like the Richardson Romanesque, right? H.H. Richardson was an architect that was during the Victorian era, but his buildings don't look Victorian in my mind. His buildings look, you know, Romanesque. And so
that almost looks like it's Roman in a way.
Like a Roman basilica,
like
right?
And so,
Romanesque. Yeah.
But you see,
ish.
That
we were on the same.
This is a style that, like, if that building was really Romanesque, okay, if that building really was 15th century, you know, 14th century, it wouldn't have that level of carving and detail and ornamentation, unless it's the most absolutely expressive one, like the most the highest of the high. You can look at that and start seeing all the details and start seeing all the machine work and all the things that would have had to come from an industrial era to make that happen. And so, you know, there are these weird things, but let's stay with those main things. Okay, it starts with Italianate. Italianate, you know, you can recognize because of the brackets in the eaves. And typically Italianate have arch windows, and oftentimes they'll have a bunch of circular arches, not just segmental arches, but circular arches in their thing. Now, the Roman period, you know, the thing that separated the Romans from the Greeks as far as classical building was the arch. The arch allowed them to span bigger openings. The arch allowed them to, you know, do the aqueducts. You'll see the arch and the use of the arch and a lot of different things that the Romans built. So the circle top was very, very important part of that. One of the things that's interesting is, or at least interesting to me, is that Victorian interiors are very difficult, in my opinion, to tell what style house you're in, right? They are stuff everywhere. There's not really
Like if you're standing in that, you don't know if you're an Italianate, like
right. Am I in a Second Empire house, a Queen Anne house, a
or if where, the person's just bad at decorating, you know, it's just hard to tell.
You know what? You know, there's not a strong motif. For instance, Second Empire doesn't necessarily have a motif that you go, oh, that's always on Second Empire houses. Whereas Greek Revival, you know, the Anthemion, the Greek key. There's some mm-hmm. typical Greek detailing, where in the Queen Anne, the Second Empire, most of those Victorian ones, there isn't a clear theme. So realize, guys, that as you go to look at these houses, really you're looking at the outside. You're looking at you're kind of picking up those details now. And what I do with that is, so when I know that it's Second Empire or Italianate or Queen Anne. Queen Anne mostly happens in the 1880s, 1890s. Second Empire happens mostly in the early part of the Victorian, as does the Italianate. So I end up using those to kind of as a rough dating tool to go, okay, this is later in that Victorian period. This is earlier in that Victorian period. If you have an 1860s house, most likely it's not going to be as heavily ornamented as a house in 1890s, mm-hmm. right? And so there's this scale of ornamentation that happens that most of it, especially in Texas, right?
Yeah.
I don't know if that's as true as in Boston, right? Because they had better access to more machines and different things like that.
Because a lot of it, you're going to be fine-tuning based on where you were. Because like you were saying in the last episode, there's a pretty good date range in terms of when the railroad got
right,
there.
A Second Empire house in Boston is going to be very different from a Second Empire house in Fort Worth.
Well, and if it's a Second Empire house in Boston, and there's a chance it was built 20 or 30 years before
correct.
A Second Empire.
Yeah. 100%.
We're saying the same thing.
The other thing that's hard about Victorian exteriors is that there is this crazy, let's just look at this Second Empire house.
I love that house, by right? the way.
So Second Empire is referenced to what? Why is it called Second Empire?
Well, it's about the empire that came after the first one, so
it's the second one.
Second empire.
What country does this hail? Does this hail from?
Where the first empire started.
I hate to beat the dead horse, but you know where that first empire was. This is where that one came from.
So I think that's one of my favorite
Scotland.
Houses.
I don't know. That's I see a so brick nice wall. Looking. So Ireland.
No, it has nothing to do with the materials.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So the Second Empire is French. Okay, it's the Second Empire of Napoleon, right?
The Second
Empire. We were talking about that earlier. Napoleon Dynamite.
Really? We were talking about Napoleon Dynamite.
Just to clue everyone in a couple episodes, so, we're planning on doing an episode
over.
That I'm worried.
Gosh.
I'm worried this episode is going to look like Napoleon Dynamite. We'll see what happens.
So Second Empire is French, okay? And so there's a French architect who basically came up with this style, and I can't remember who is it, Claude Pierre?
Claude Pierre the Second.
Yeah, no. Anyway, Second Empire is distinctive because of the, what's that roof called?
Mansard
roof. That's who it is. That's the English architect.
Claude
Pierre
Mansard.
Yeah, that's the French architect, Mansard.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
What?
Yeah, Richard. No. Mansard is the name of the architect.
That's like an addition, obviously, right?
On the left?
It's so like not done as well as the original.
Mm-hmm. So Second Empire is distinctive because of the Mansard roof. And that French architect, Mansard. Now, I don't know if, can't remember whether Mansard.
Whoa, look at the stack attack on that one.
But here's a good example.
Keeps going up.
What is this style, right?
McMansion.
What is that style?
Well, that has the same, like what we just looked at.
It looked kind of Second
Empire-ish.
Right, but the tower, okay, look at the roof on the tower. That is a Mansard roof.
Right.
Okay, so would you call it Second Empire, or would you call it Italianate?
Yeah, Italianate.
Well, there's a mix, and that's one of the other things that's
trick questions.
That's hard about Victorian is you look at it sometimes and you're like, what in the world? Which one is that, right? And so, especially when you get into the Queen Anne, it is purposefully a mix of all these different styles, and it's
Queen Anne's on purpose. they're mixing them?
I mean, if you look at McFarland, which I would consider Queen Anne, because it has a turret and all this other stuff, there's French influence, there's the chateau influence, there's a round turret, porch. It's all of these, different.
So cool to see like
what style is that? And so realize, guys, that part of the challenge, of Victorianism is like, I look at that and I go, I know it's a Victorian house. I don't know exactly what style it is, right?
Because it even has a mansard roof and it has a turret. Right? Isn't the main roof mansard?
No, that's a French chateau-esque kind of thing.
So is that like that last picture where it's like stacked towers?
Yeah.
Is that where you would say like the pendulum just swung too far the other way? Because you'd mentioned that comment earlier.
Yeah, it's I mean, I think it did, but you look at what comes after it, right? You look at what comes after the arts, the Victorians, the arts and crafts, which is rejection of all that ornamentation. And when you see all of this stuff and it's thrown together so haphazardly, it makes sense that the arts and crafts was like, okay, calm down, calm down.
Whoa.
I can just picture like the mill worker being like, this machine can make 12-foot brackets. And the manager's like, let's do it. All right.
You're hired. See you tomorrow.
Yeah.
Comes in on your railroad. I'm confused on a mansard roof because I thought the other roofs were mansard. You said some of these roofs were mansard roofs?
The tower's roof is a mansard roof.
Okay. Can we go back to McFarland? Sorry, Austin. So, is that not a mansard roof?
No.
Okay. I guess I'm confused. Can you explain it to me better?
So the mansard roof is actually, it almost pitches vertically. Okay?
Right. See the top there? Isn't that?
Yeah, but that is if you took those dormers off there, that would be a French, total
chateau-esque.
French Versailles, chateau-esque. That is all French.
Okay. Okay.
I don't get it. Yeah. So, anyway, there's a mansard roof.
Is it because it's a flat on the top kind of deal and it's not coming to a point?
Yes.
Okay. That's helpful.
But that roof is also, a 24 and 12. I mean, it's almost vertical. That chateau was like this. That mansard is almost like that.
Fair enough.
So that's the Second Empire, but you see brackets in the eaves there. That doesn't mean it's Italianate, right? And so, the way these houses were designed, the way that they came together through plan books and builder books and things like that, means that you have all of these, different things going on there. That and it's not really led by, one person. You have Richardson Romanesque, which is done during the Victorian period, but doesn't really look Victorian like these look Victorian.
Right.
Right, he is doing something very distinctive. H.H. Richardson, who did that style, is designing houses that are huge, made of huge blocks. They're massive. They're very distinctive, and so they're blocky, right?
Wow.
And so that doesn't read as light and decorative as those other as the other Victorian things do look. And so he is one that was driving his own architectural style. But most of these other Victorians are kind of this blend of different things. And so the Italianate, the Queen Anne and the Second Empire are kind of all part of that same story. And it gets confusing. Now, if you look at the Carpenter Gothic, it's called Carpenter Gothic because there is no stonework in it, right? It's all this, what the carpenter would have been put it together, and then this kind of stick style. Now, the stick style is this style where you see all this kind of the stick framing, right?
Mm-hmm.
That frames and blocks out all of these different things that then it kind of gets put together.
Whoa.
But look at this house, right? It is a mishmash, right? The main body of the outside of the house has that, that stick form, the way it's put together. But, this is why you look at these things and almost say McMansion-y, because there's just so many things happening and there's nothing that necessarily distinctively that says this is that style.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas like a Tudor house, it's a Tudor house, but this house is Victorian for sure. So I don't even know how important it is that you sit there and go, this is Stick, or this is Second Empire, this is thing. Because you, as you can see, it's a whole mix of different stuff. Now, if I'm restoring this house, okay, if I'm restoring and trying to fix this, or I'm trying to build this house new, okay, there are Victorian elements and Victorian things. Like that's that balustrade right on the porch, and those porch columns go together. But I could probably pick five other different styles of Victorian porches and things that would still work on this house.
Right.
And so there's a freedom, therefore, that you can, when restoring these things, you know, that you can have fun with it, right?
Yeah.
Now, if I had historic photos and I knew exactly what was there, I would go back with this.
Mm-hmm.
But if I didn't, but if that porch was torn off and I didn't know exactly what was there and I couldn't find historic photos, I would go to an historic millwork book from that same period and pick out one that I liked that I thought might pick up some of the other details and use that. If I had a clue like that top porch and it wasn't torn off, there's my clue. But look, if I did my balustrade like that one up there, I wouldn't have that really cool one down there.
Right.
Right? You have the columns, but you don't have the the balustrade. So.
Right.
You know, there's a flexibility. One, I want people to know what the difference between Victorian arts and crafts, Greek Revival is.
Mm-hmm.
But then beyond that, there's a lot of freedom in the Victorian style that, you know, allows you to, you know, have more fun with it.
Totally.
All right. Austin's just going to show us a bunch of pictures and we're going to look at stuff. Now, this is the famous houses in
Full House.
The Full House things. These are called the Painted Ladies. This probably, I don't know, I haven't done the research, but this is probably done by the developer who basically built a bunch of them all the same. A lot of distinctive Victorian features. That corner where the windows cut back at a 45 degree angle, but the brackets are on either side of the window and support the corner of the pediment of the roof, that is 100% Victorian. So there are details like that that show up that make you go, oh, there's the Victorian detail.
You're talking about in the orange house in the middle, right?
It happens on the blue house. It happens on the yellow house. It happens on the green house. It happens on every house.
Oh, it cut off the corners of the pediment. I see.
Those pediments come down and are supported by two brackets, and the windows cut back at an angle on the edge. And so what happens a lot of times, too, is a lot of the Victorian ornamentation has been torn off over the last 150 years. So there might not be any details except maybe a little corner like that or except a little detail, and you go, oh, you know what? There's probably a lot more detail in there. There's probably a lot more going on, and it allows you to kind of infuse some good stuff in there.
Wow.
Yeah, so this would be what style?
Russian-esque.
You're right. It is. But what?
Nice.
What,
wow.
Yeah, that's I mean, crazy. that's you know, Moorish, you know, turnip, the onion top roofs, kind of thing.
Say Queen Anne.
But it is Queen Anne. I would say that is Queen Anne with this Moorish, you know, Russian, you know, capital
flair.
And here's what's happened, right? They're being inspired by so many different things, by so many different styles, and someone liked that Persian, you know, carrot top thing and just said, okay, let's do that.
That's cool.
I mean, I would probably call this like a Carpenter or a Stick style, Carpenter Gothic, something like that.
So the Stick one is just characterized by these like
Stick framing on the frame of the outside. Yep. But I mean, there's a lot of different elements going on in that thing. And, you know, you could call it, I mean, you see me stumbling, kind of trying to figure out exactly what it is. And I'm trying to look through all the different things like those towers, towers typically Italianate, but I don't see any brackets. Look at the pediment at end. It's kind of Gothic. And so is it Carpenter Gothic? Well, kind of, but there's not many other Gothic arches in there. Those porch things aren't really Gothic. Although they do have that Gothic arch in the small center, right? And so, you know, here you are. Yeah, I'm looking through all these details on this house, kind of going, oh, well, that window kind of is, you know. And so they're not pure details. And so you end up working through and trying to figure it out.
The other thing I kind of see you doing when you're doing these dates, when you're doing these details, the reason it's so important to you is because it helps signify what date the house was built in.
100%.
So especially when you're doing a sleuthing thing, the dates become important because you go, well, they wouldn't have used X product in X
Right. So imagine going into this house and, you know, the inside's all arts and crafts, or the inside's all, you know, colonial revival. And you'd be like, wait a minute, what's going on in here? What happened? Something changed, something. And then you start trying to figure out, or even just going to Victorian House and seeing an arts and crafts store.
Right.
When at North Bennett Street, my instructor was always trying to keep us away from red herrings. Now, red herring would be something that, they have a, let's say, a federal style door that they put in a, you know, a Greek revival house. And then you think that the house is much older than it is, only because you've got this, you see what's
like
happening?
Like a salvage door.
Totally. Yeah, you got a salvage door, and he would call it a red herring. No, this house isn't that old, because I think that's a red herring that was brought from some. So anyway, it's not quite as hard. But the importance of being able to understand and recognizing styles is huge. Okay. Mm-hmm. Because if you're restoring, or you're fixing, or you're doing these things, your client says, I want a Victorian, or your client says, I want this, you need to be able to be, you're the expert, you need to be able to look at it and go, now you know that's Victorian, right? Because you said you've wanted arts and crafts, but you're showing me stuff that's mm-hmm. Victorian. Mm-hmm. Is that really what you want? I want you guys to have that kind of expertise.
Yeah.
Even like driving through neighborhoods, like historical neighborhoods, and saying like, oh, I like that house, but I don't know why. Like, this helps you understand why you might like it.
Well,
you
know? and being able to talk styles with clients. I mean, my buddy at Old House Journal would say that the number one question they get from people all the time is, what style is my house? So people want to understand their style. Mm-hmm. They want us to understand. And if you can bring that expertise to it, then again, if you think about you're interviewing and, you know, working against another guys in your field, if you know more about the architecture of your neighborhood, of your town, then you're just, you know, you're one step up. You're kind of getting to that category that the architect has, because the architect ideally should know those things. And, you know, he's more concerned about style than construction. And so, you know, I want you guys to have that style piece, right, so that you can have those conversations without going, you know, you're going to have to get an architect and I'll build whatever he draws up. I want us to be saying, no, guys.
All pathetic.
You know, yeah. I want you guys to be saying, well, you've got a Georgian house, let's get you a Georgian mantle, right? It's a colonial revival house, let's do colonial revival things. Mm-hmm. So this is what style?
Queen Anne's.
That's Italianate.
Italianate, yep. There's no turret, right? The Queen Anne typically has a turret on it.
Sorry. So what is that front thing? I thought that was a turret.
That's a bay window. And bay windows are very popular in the Victorian era.
Hey, there's your house. Or the one y'all did.
Yeah, so this is the 1881 house that we did.
It's a very organized
Victorian. Is it done?
Victorian.
No.
It's a good photo.
It's much better shape than when we found it. I mean, when we found it, oh my gosh.
Well, even when we visited, the paint was stripping off. There was like all this.
Yeah, no, that's fascinating. That's 2009. So that was 15 years almost before we started, or 13 years. Wow. When we found it, the eaves, the railings were rotted away. The railings on either side of the windows weren't there. It wasn't in very good shape.
You got to maintain this stuff. You know, because that's not that long for all that to fall apart.
Yeah, no, that's no doubt. So this is an Italianate house. It's, you know, it's a country Victorian house. The 1881, no railroad, you know, Texas, you know, they're, you know, it's a pretty early house for, I think the courthouse was built in right around that same period of time. This would have been a very influential person. Mm. They had plaster on the walls, which we were blown away by. Right. That wouldn't normally have that on an early country style house. And so,
would that just be sheetrock? Is that
when sheetrock come in?
the look you gave him.
Yeah, dumb question.
Sheetrock is a 1920s, 30s, 40s thing.
No, it would have been.
So this is 1880s.
Yeah. So. Wooden walls? What would it be? Wooden walls with wallpaper?
They would have planked it with wallpaper.
Got it. Interesting.
Or just planked it.
Ooh, Dutch.
Dutch?
Dutch home.
No.
Second Empire?
So there's that same... Do you see a mansard roof? You're just throwing crap out. You're just... Mm-hmm. What are you doing?
Happy to be here.
Yeah. I can tell.
These designs are really interesting. They've like, it almost looks like a,
this is a workman's house. Okay. This is, you know, I don't even know what style that is. It's,
well, neither do I,
you know, but look at the windows, that 45 cut back with the supporting thing, the same as those houses. Yeah. The painted ladies we're doing.
It looks very similar to, like, yeah, it could almost fit.
So,
right,
I mean, I would say this is probably some late Queen Anne, late Victorian kind of 1890s.
This was a
thing.
Workman's house, right?
Yeah. I mean, it's not very big. Yeah. It's, you don't have very much going on. It's not very big. And so, yeah.
Just scraps from his job sites. Like, hey, I can do this.
Yeah.
Wow.
So that one has the double stacked roof on the left.
Crazy.
Which is really cool.
This is really crazy. I got Galveston. Yeah, oh, I don't even know what style that is. The
it's pretty cool looking.
Yeah, it is cool looking.
It looks like it should be like a bakery or something.
It looks like it's Caribbean. Like, to me, it looks like it belongs, you know, in the Caribbean. And I don't know whether that's the colors or what's mm-hmm. making me
it's
say
really
that.
Interesting.
But it's, yeah, that's a interesting house. But again, you recognize this Victorian. Hopefully, you're walking up to it, going, you know what? Look at the size of the windows. That's another thing. Look at those tall, thin windows. Yeah. Very Victorian.
I've never seen that wavy cladding ever. You see that?
Yeah.
In the middle section. That is so unique.
It's fun seeing shutters fully shut on a house.
Oh, yeah.
Isn't that
crazy? They actually work.
Yeah. I mean, that's actually like a fun detail to see, but it's also like, it's kind of jarring to see the top right.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what the?
Yeah, so this is the famous one in Eureka, from the lumber magnate. And, you know, this is almost something out of another world. It looks European. It looks like, you know, a fantasy from a Swiss villa or something.
Looks Dutch, honestly.
Have you been to, you know, do you know
all the time
Dutch
all the stuff?
Because you keep bringing it up.
I was there yesterday.
That's
the California house that we really like, right?
It's the Eureka.
I don't even know how you like design that.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, I mean, it's so over the top. Go in, see if you can find some interiors, because I think that would help people look at some of the details, because they might see those more quickly than they would see or you might see better examples of interiors that you'd have to sleuth and figure out.
I thought you said before that interiors were harder to figure out. Is that right?
They are, but I want you to recognize some of these Victorian details, like the doors, the hardware.
The big baseboard.
The exterior is pretty easy to be like, that's a Victorian.
I think it is.
Hard to say which category.
Like, this would be a Queen Anne only because that thing. But look at that window in that thing. What do you think happened on that turret? Look at the blank window. Like, that's obviously not original.
Mm-hmm.
So look at the sash below that, right? They have the circular sash. So somehow that circular sash in the turret above got broken, and they went back.
Maybe the machine gun.
Yeah.
The turret.
They went back with a piece of plate glass as opposed to making. So immediately you're sitting there going, okay, well, we need to fix that.
Oh,
we need to fix that, right? There's funky stuff happening.
Yeah, it doesn't look good compared. Wow.
Again, you're recognizing, and part of this is because I've been to, I have the molding catalogs, and I've looked through those mm-hmm. so many times, but the header blocks, look at the left door cased opening. There's a lot of stuff that you'll see in the late Victorian period. Those header blocks that are built up, and not just a rosette, but actually have moldings top and bottom.
Right.
You have the same block in the middle where the chair rail connects. Look at the portiere, which is that decorative screen.
Okay.
That's really interesting.
That goes. Now, those are very popular in the catalogs in the 1890s and early 1900s.
Cool.
And basically, they're fretwork. They're woodwork that's been turning and other things. They made them into these screens.
That's so
and,
wild.
Portiere is P-O-I-T-E-R-I-E or something. And it's a Italian word for door frame. I think is what it is.
You did like a fish scale one, right? Type one.
We did one.
That was cool.
Yeah, that was it was kind of fish scale. But you know, I'll oftentimes see you know, if someone says I want a Victorian stair, right? Are you ready to build a newel post or intermediary newel like those? Look how, you know, expressive
what
they are.
What part is the newel?
The newel's the bottom piece where the stair ends.
Got it.
Look at the lighting that stands up on top of those things. Yeah. And look how big those next newels are. I mean, they're huge. And so, you know, being ready to express and build that way is, I think, part of that, you know, story.
I noticed that one thing. Oh, there's McFarlane. Yeah. That's what I was going to say in McFarlane. And the other interiors that Austin has showed this episode, they all so far have had a double panel wainscot that's pretty high. It's stained
grade. It is. And I noticed the same thing. And
and so y'all should stain grade. Just the wood is more expensive because they've done more to finish it to where all you have to do is stain it. Is that right?
Well, stain grade means that it's a hardwood as opposed to a softwood.
Got it.
More typically. Mm-hmm. And it's more of a premium wood. So it's oak and walnut and cherry and maple and different things like that. But they began to produce in woods like that because of machines that could power through. If you've ever tried to plane a piece of oak, it's really hard by hand. It's hard to work.
It'll wear out your bits faster even too.
100%. Mm. So, I mean, you know, obviously these are, this would be an English revival, you know, because you've got the strapwork ceiling above, you've got, you know, that English, you know,
kind of like this.
Yeah. You've got that Tudor paneling. You got the Tudor stair. And so, you know, there's a, you know, wide plank floors and those kind of the typical, you know, Victorian era English Tudor, right? So this wouldn't have been a house that was built during the Tudor era.
Right.
The ceilings are too tall. It's too grand. This is something that would have been done in the Victorian era as a Tudor revival.
So this is one exception then, because earlier you said, like, I don't really know what I'm in if I'm looking at a Victorian.
Well, I think this is a European house. I don't think.
Oh, you don't think?
I don't think this is an American house. I think this is made in Europe. But so that looks like an English country house kind
of thing. So if you guess that exterior look, it would be a Victorian looking.
It would be, a good example of a Victorian country home is the Downton Abbey. Okay, that's
I haven't seen it.
That's the show on
Netflix.
Well, Netflix. Basically, the interiors of Downton Abbey are Victorian era revival. English style houses, country houses in particular.
Downton Abbey.
So you've got carved linen fold panels, you've got carved spandrels, you've got, you know, oversized linen fold panels down behind that clock, and so just the way that's expressed, it isn't a Tudor,
Gothic, right?
Yeah, 15th, 16th century. It's a Victorian iteration of that. But again, now we're getting into British stuff and English stuff, and so it's a little confusing.
Hmm. What did you say those fold panels?
Linen fold.
Where, like, it's meant to look like folded linen?
You have one here, right?
Yeah, there's one.
Because you passed it around during one of those classes.
So linen was very expensive material, right? But, you know, the beds that they were made, it's the draperies on the bed that made them valuable, not necessarily the bed frame itself. And so linen was incredibly expensive.
Huh? It was that expensive?
Oh, 100%. It was the most expensive thing. And so what this is supposed to look like is if you took linen and folded it down, it kind of wraps down. And they do all this decorative expression here or up there, that little leaf detail. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, those are linen fold panels. And I was having him carve it to show some of the different ways the ends were finished.
What is what do you think the thread count is on these bad boys?
Are you saying that the linen itself was more expensive than the woodworking?
1,000%.
That's crazy.
So crazy.
Yeah, if you look at some of the beds and the stuff at the Victorian Albert Museum, they're showing off this bed, and I'm looking at it going,
that linen is crazy.
No, that bed was incredible. And then they go, and then they start talking about the fabrics and the fact that it was the show off of the fact that they could afford to have those things weaved
oh my
like
gosh.
This, like the colors and the knitting and the weaving and all of that other stuff, that is what makes that bed expensive, not wow. that bed.
It's like reverse today.
Yeah.
Because linen's factory, you know, machine made.
Yeah, 100%.
I mean, linen might be something where, I don't actually no expertise on linen, but it might be something where it's actually fine to be machine made, you know, like where it's like there would be no benefit to hand sewing linen.
Right. Oh yeah. I just don't know.
So, you know,
here's the point.
Yeah, exactly. Here's the point that we're trying to get to in my mind is about Victorian is I want you to be able to see, because there's a lot of Victorian architecture that we encounter.
Yeah.
There are clients that we run into that want Victorian, that like the ornamentation, not a lot, but they do like it. And so one of the worst building styles I think we do today is the new Victorians, that they are so poorly done, it's so poorly executed. And so like this one, the magic of Victorian architecture there is just lost. And so
wouldn't that just be a McMansion? Like I look at that and I think it screams McMansion because there's no detailing. There's no, like a lot of the things that we've set, like the window sizings, they're split up. It's like 6:9/9. I guess I'm just confused because I'm like that. The things that we said were Victorian houses, this is not, right? Other than the turret.
The turret and the porch, you know, that form, right? Yeah. That massing yeah. looks like a Queen Anne Victorian, right?
Right.
But when you get into the parts and pieces, for instance, those windows, instead of being double hungs, instead of being properly proportioned,
right.
are these empty light, non-working, you know,
fixed windows.
Fixed That's windows crazy. With divided lights inside the deal.
Vinyl.
So yeah, so that you know, it just you strip away the depth of the double hung, you strip away the architectural details around it, brick molds, trim that would have gone in there, and it's just empty, right?
It's like it's
just
missing all the ornamentation.
Right.
Yeah.
It's like midway through a building a Victorian, but they're like, no, we're done.
This is the base package. You can upgrade it later.
I don't even know. I don't even know.
That stone wall is weird. It looks fake.
It is
like a print.
That's an AI 3D image.
You got me.
It looks AI.
So anyway, I want guys to be able to, you know, recognize what Victorian architecture is. When you walk around these houses and you'll see the ornamentation in the, you know, they just left no surface unornamented, mm-hmm. even the butt hinges of a butt hinge, right? The leaf of the butt hinge is ornamented. The knob is ornamented. The escutcheon is ornamented. Mm-hmm. The you know, the plate that goes on your lock, that is your mortise lock, it's ornamented.
Do you think a little bit of that was like they have access to the ability to do some of these ornamentations easily, and so they're almost like when you get a new label maker and you just start labeling exactly. everything is one of those kind of things.
I think that, you know, they were stamping them out and making them over and over again, and that industrialization and that process enabled them to go, well
why don't we keep doing it?
Why don't we just got any more of them? You know, I want guys to recognize the doors when they're those embossed moldings, the bead and reel moldings, the bead and reel details that are added to panels. Mm-hmm. I mean, just that whenever you see that, you are looking at Victorian stuff.
Right.
And that's the key. Now, a real challenge would be like someone said, you have a Victorian house and they want a Victorian kitchen. What would that look like?
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever seen one.
Well, there's not. There were no Victorian kitchens, right? They were working kitchens. They were so then you're doing probably a 1920s kitchen that looks like that. So anyway, it's just
or you're just taking like big baseboards or I don't even know what you do. Matching. Yeah.
But the whole point of this thing is to you guys to be able to recognize architectural styles, realize where it's coming from. And so you don't try to put that into a Federal or a Georgian or a Greek Revival house, right?
Would look funny in a Federal house.
But you know, I'm bringing it up because people do it, right? They just don't know. So,
right.
Got to get there.
I think one thing that would be interesting to talk about is like, it might be because because Victorian is an era as well as an architectural style, people just sometimes think like old and they just associate that with Victorian. And that's why probably the AI, when we say design a federal house, it's like Victorian details because it's just associating.
I think that's a great point. House. I think it's a great point.
Yeah, that is.
Do you think they could hear you? If not, I'll repeat it. Basically, Austin is saying that people just associate anything old as being Victorian. And if you think about, like, in Texas, okay, our housing stock, our earliest housing stock, you know, not including the Alamo and stuff like that, is 1850 to 1860, right? Because we don't become a state till 1845. Alamo is 1836.
Right.
Stemma State in 1845, you know, there's not a lot of housing and stuff going on here. And so, you know, down in Austin, there's some Greek Revival stuff. Down in Galveston, there's a lot of Victorian stuff. But, you know, we don't have Georgian and federal houses. So to Austin's point, you know, people go, well, it's old. It must be Victorian because that is the oldest that is in America, that is in Texas.
Right.
And so we need to, I think that's another reason to his point that people assume it's Victorian because it's old and everything old is Victorian when it's really not.
Yeah. And then he was saying that the confusing part about it is it's not just an architectural style, but it's also an era. So that's where the crisscross happens.
Which we talked about in episode one. It is confusing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. I think once you know, though, like a little bit of a little bit, like if you just listen to this episode, you can know, like that's not Victorian.
I agree.
Right.
I agree.
It's probably Dutch. Well, thank you guys for watching this episode. We will see you on the next one where we will be talking build science. See you then.